Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio Ministries.com. We have Chaplain John Durden, and he's about to bring the Word of God for the next hour and 40 minutes. And it's an honor to have him here, a brother of mine. We used to work together at the hospital. I got ordained by him and gave me the opportunity, and that opened up the door to the ministry of deliverance. Without further ado, Chaplain John Durden.
Good evening, everyone. Again, this is Brother John coming at you with another Word of God. Hope everybody had a good day today. And before we get into it, let's get into prayer, okay? In the name of Jesus, Father God, I pray that you would anoint me with revelation knowledge and wisdom and understanding. And Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit empowers me to teach your word with clarity, simplicity, and boldness. And Father God, may our minds be alert and clear and our hearts become receptive. And I also pray that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, move in such power that every stronghold of unbelief, discord, and vain thought be pulled down and brought into captivity to the glory of your Son, the Lord Jesus of Nazareth. And finally, Father, I pray that your words bring salvation, healing, and deliverance to all here in your presence this evening. It's in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, our Redeemer, we pray. And everybody agree with that prayer? Say amen and amen. I was trying to figure out what I was going to pray about, but then what I was going to teach as well. And so I asked the Holy Spirit, you know, to give me some inspiration. And I asked him to put his thoughts into my mind so I can know exactly what he would like for me to teach, because I want to teach what he wants me to teach. And would you know it? Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit say, you're going to teach on me Tuesday night. I say, well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So I just want to say that it's a pleasure to be here again. And without further ado, I want to share the scripture first. The first scripture comes is John chapter 16. John 16. Okay, let me turn to that. John 16. All right, 16 verses 7 through 13. 16, 7 through 13. Okay, here we go. And the word says, John 16. Excuse me, y'all. This is an old raggedy Bible I got here. All right, John 16.
Okay, Dr. Nublet, we don't need that in this room now. Don't come and tell him to hurry up. He don't know the Bible. Yeah, he do. Don't start that. Or just leave out the room.
Okay.
Dr. Nublet,
yeah,
hurry up.
Of all Bibles, I picked the raggedy when the pages fall out. Okay, here we go. Chapters, John 16. Verses 7 through 13, and it reads as follows. Nevertheless, this is talking about the works of the Holy Spirit. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he come, he will reprove the world of sin and the righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because they go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment of the world is judged. And I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot hear them until now. How it, the Spirit of truth, which is the Holy Spirit, has come. He will what? He will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whosoever he shall hear, what shall he speak? And he will show you things to come. And he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show you anew. That's John 16, verses 7 through 13. Chapter 14, verse 26 reads as follows. 14:26 says this. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And then I go to the book of Romans. Romans, the 8th chapter. Chapter 8, verse 14. Verse 14 says this. Now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard to Samaria and received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them, and they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as he had fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That was John 16, verses 13. Okay, I'm going to go to chapter 14, chapter 3, verse 4. Go to Acts 3, 4. Acts 3, 4 reads as follows. Okay. 3, 4 says, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed to them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter and said, simple and go have it done, but such as I have I given to you. Then he goes on to talk about the Holy Spirit. I don't want to read the whole thing, so let me move on. All right. First of all, I believe that it is essential for all of us as believers to recognize the importance of the Holy Spirit in God's redemptive purpose. That is really important. Many Christians have no idea, y'all, what difference it would make if there were a Holy Spirit in this world. Let me repeat that again. Many Christians have no idea what difference it would make if there were no Holy Spirit in this world. And we all know without the Holy Spirit, there what? There would be no creation. There would be no universe. And there would be no human race. And we also know that without the Holy Spirit, there would be no Bible. And that's in accordance to 2 Peter, verse 21. There would be no New Testament. There would be no power to proclaim the gospel. And without the Holy Spirit, we all know, there would be no faith. There would be no new birth and no holiness and no Christian at all in this world. And that reminds me when I was a young man and I thought that I had a new birth experience and I was saved because I was going to church every Sunday. I was singing in the teenage choir. And then when I got to be an adult, I was singing with the men's glee club and all the stuff. And I thought I had it made, you know, kind of a thing. Then the Holy Spirit had to jump into my being. I was sitting at the work as a big time executive making $50,000 a year. And then all of a sudden, something to say, John. And I jumped up and I said, who said that? And I look out in the hall, open the door, look out the door. And nobody was in the hallway. And I would sit back down. And then he said, John, don't you know, my son, that if you die tonight, you are not into my kingdom? Not knowing that was the Holy Spirit. I said, oh, my God. It helped me. So I went to my supervisor and asked him to have the best day up. He said, okay, John, no problem. So I went home. The wife questioned me. I told her I wasn't feeling good. I didn't want y'all to hear some voice saying, if I die, I'll bust hell wide open. So later on, we went to bed, then went back to work the next day. And do you know, at the same time as was the previous day, at 3 o'clock on the head, John, don't you know if you die tonight, you're not into my kingdom. And if I blow my mind, I said, oh, my God. So I went to my supervisor again, who was a personal director. And he said, what can I do for you, Brother John? I go, I need to take this. He said, hold up. You was off. Let me see. He said, you was off yesterday at 3 o'clock. What's happening? You meeting somebody, some chick or what? I said, no, sir, I just got some unfinished business. He said, okay. But this time I didn't go straight home because I didn't want the wife to question me. So I was delayed around the park until the normal time I got home. It was no question kind of a thing. And then I went to bed that night. And then 3 o'clock in the morning, John, don't you know if you die tonight, you are not into my kingdom? And I go, oh, my God. And I started crying. The wife said, what's the matter? I said, I'm going crazy. I'm hearing this thing 3 times. She said, uh-huh. Your butt need to be saved. I said, what do you mean? I'm going to church. She said, going to church and being saved is two different things, honey. I said, well, okay. And I made around. So as it may, 3 days after that, the base commander came into my office and said, Brother John, I'm here out on business because you always recruit the people I need in my office. I'm here on spiritual business. I say, excuse me? He says, I am a child of God. I'm the son of God. He says, I'm the base commander, but I'm also a child of God. He says, he told me that he spoke to you 3 times. He said to you, if you die that particular time, you're not in the kingdom. So how do you know that? He said, I just told you. Lord just told me. He said, well, are you saved? And then I said the stupid thing. I said, I don't know. I hope so. And he said, you're not, because you said I hope so. And then he shared the word of God with me. So I ended up accepting Christ as my personal life. And my whole life changed. I mean, to the Bible reading, devotion, and even he commanded me to teach my kids. So that's a personal thing that the Holy Spirit dealt with me. I would like to go on and say I would like to share with you about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, okay? First of all, he's a divine person. He's like the Father and the Son. He's a part of the Trinity. And we know that we may never think, I want you to know, I don't want us to think that the Holy Spirit is a mere influence, because I have some personal friends that I know think it's just an influence. There's no such person as the Holy Spirit. It's the Father and the Son kind of a thing. But there, he is not a mere influence or power. The Holy Spirit has personal characteristics, y'all. He thinks, he feels, he wills, and has the capacity to love and to enjoy just as much as we are, and especially enjoy the fellowship. He was also sent by the Father, Father God, my Heavenly Father, to bring believers into the intimate presence and fellowship of Jesus Christ, and that's what happened to me. He dealt with me personally because I thought because I became a member of the church, I was saved. You know, I was 20 years as a Methodist back in Savannah, and then I moved to Atlanta to get a federal job, and that's where I met my wife, and she was Baptist, so I joined her Baptist church because I didn't want to drag off to my Methodist church, you know, since she'd been in that Baptist church all those years, so I didn't want to uproot her and make her family angry or anything, so I was a deacon in that Baptist church about like 19 years. So I want to say, as a result of my personal relationship with the Lord, my wife got saved as well. And then the Holy Spirit came into my life again when I went home, because my mother was in her 50s and she had no way of knowing. She thought she was saved because she did the children's Bible study and she did all the activities in the church and everything. She was director this and director that. And I prayed and prayed and prayed. She'd tell me, get out of my face, boy. You know, I'm your mother. I tell you about God. I said, okay, Ma. And every time I got to talk, she said, I don't want to hear that. Then finally, my sister and I prayed in agreement. And we prayed for 12 long years, you know, after we got saved. Then finally, Lord, the Holy Spirit said, go home, my son. I have prepared your mom. Man, I jumped in the car with glee. And I said, honey, I'm going. She said, do with the Lord, the Holy Spirit, whoever. I'm telling you to go. I went there and I said, hey, Mom. She said, what you doing down here? I said, I just came to see you. You know, I miss you. And she said, well, that's nice of you. I'm fixing to go to church, you know. She said, but you know what? I'll just hold up. I said, well, okay, Mom. And she turned the TV on and the Billy Graham Crusade was on. And we listened to the sermon. And then while the kids come to close, and the Holy Spirit said to me, now, speak to your mom. I had prepared her heart. And I said, Mom, I said, I'm here again. She said, I'm here to be the truth with you. The Lord sent me here to tell you that he loves you. And he wants you to accept him as personal Lord and Savior. Mom, you're not saved. You're not born again. You're just a good-going church person. And then she said, you know, I've been worried about it, and I was thinking about all this prayer, you and your sister. She said, I said, now, Billy Graham's going to say the crusade, say the prayer now. Can you join me? She said, okay. She grabbed my hand and said the sinner's prayer, boy, and she booed and cried, and there was a true repentance. And I couldn't sleep that night because the Holy Spirit ministered to me and then ministered to my mother. I want to say this. I believe that essential that believers recognize the importance, again, who the Holy Spirit is. He's the third part of the Unity. And without the Holy Spirit, there would be no creation again, and there'd be no universe, there'd be no human race, there would be no Bible, there would be no New Testament, no Old Testament, no power, none of that stuff. So without the Holy Spirit, there would be no faith, most of all, no faith. Can you imagine that? And no new birth, no holiness, no Christian at all in this world. And you know, when I think about that, I think about a cousin. I'm hurt, you know, like his mother was my mama's sister, you know, and he was always in the street. His daddy was always in the street playing around. And he broke the whole family just a couple of weeks ago. Everybody was scared to tell me because they say, well, John, it's a minister. I sure hate to tell him that, you know. So finally I went home a couple of weeks, you know, just for 1 week. And they all looked at me and she said, we got some bad news for you. I said, what's that? She said, you know, Bingley? I said, yeah, my cousin. That's auntie's son. He lives in North Carolina now. She said, yeah, but guess what? He came down here and cussed us all out, telling me we a bunch of crazy nuts. Ain't no such thing. Ain't no Jesus. Ain't no God. He's just a white man. So can you believe? I said, what? He said, he don't believe it. And he don't want to hit us up. And then what makes matter worse, they said, you know what he did? He went to church with us yesterday, and he got up, and, you know, the pastor said, come make an announcement. He got up to, I don't believe in this crap. Y'all worshiping a white man. You know, this is a bunch of baloney, so, embarrassed the whole family. I said, wow. I said, where is he? He says, well, he's going to North Carolina now. He moved to North Carolina. I said, okay. So with that said, I also want to talk about, again, about his person. Now, throughout the scriptures, the Spirit is revealed with an individuality all his own. You find that in 2 Corinthians 3, verses 17, 18, Hebrew 9, verse 14. Okay? So I want to say this. I'm going to break it down. I made a little outline. I have the ministry of works of the Holy Spirit. And to be specific, I would like to share some of these specific works of the Holy Spirit. One, you know, I got the Holy Spirit in relation to creation. Then I have the Holy Spirit in relation to Jesus Christ. And then I want to talk about the Holy Spirit in relation to the church, and the Holy Spirit in relation to the believers. And I go, wow. I say, okay, Lord, lead me. And so I prayed, and every night, a little bit, you know, I get a little bit here, and a little bit there, and a little bit here, and a little bit there. And so I want to share with you the Holy Spirit. Before I get that, there's one other thing. Now, I'll go back. The Lord said, go back, stick with it. I said, okay. All right. Now, first of all, I look at four things. The Holy Spirit in relation to creation and revelation. And then I look up the Bible, look up things about the Holy Spirit in relation to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Then I look the Holy Spirit in relation to the church kind of a thing. And then the Holy Spirit in relation to individual believers, that's us as believers. Then how the Holy Spirit deals with persons who are in sin kind of a thing. And I cut it down in a nutshell. I said was in respect to the Holy Spirit in relation to creation and revelation, you know, he was involved with active in creation. He also impart life to God's creatures. He inspired the prophets and apostles, you know, thus said every time, thus said the Lord, thus said the Lord. And what they were saying is, it's not me about to say what I'm about to say. It's the Spirit of God. But they just say it's God. But they didn't know specifically that they were talking about God, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit imparts the life of God creatures. He inspired the prophets and the apostles when they speak, thus said the word. Every time you look in the Bible, Old Testament, every time the prophet always say, thus said the Lord, thus said the Lord, thus said the Lord. Let you know this wasn't coming from him, but it was coming from the Holy Spirit. And he speaks through the word. Now, with respect to our relation to Jesus Christ, now, this is talk about the Holy Spirit personal relationship with the Lord. He says, and when I look it up, I look in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, say, Jesus was conceived by Mary, by the Holy Spirit, we all know. Jesus was filled with the Spirit, you know, we know that. And he was preaching the Spirit, and every time he preached, you find that in Isaiah, well, you might find that in Luke 4, verses 16 to 27. He preached in the Spirit. He performed miracles by the power of the Spirit. You find that in Acts 10:38, and Matthew 12:28, Luke 11:20. And said, we will baptize believers in the Holy Spirit. That's what he does. Every time we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, we go tell the pastor, we tell the church that we accept the Lord, and next thing you know, boom, he dumped us and baptized us. He will baptize believers in the Holy Spirit. And then he had the promises of the Holy Spirit as a counselor. The Holy Spirit promises the ministry of the to blow through believe flow. In other words, when he used us sometimes, go here, go there, say this, say that, preach this, pray that. And get and the preacher get ready to say, amen, let us adjourn for the day. And all of a sudden, you hear a little silent voice and says, no, I'm not through yet. Repeat what I say. Now, those who really, really knows the Lord can hear his Lord and hear the Lord. And I found, here I am, 79, I will be 80. Oh, I can't believe time goes by that. I'll be 80 in November the 30th. And it took me, let me see, I didn't get saved until I was 30. And here I am, mess up my life all these years because I didn't think we can hear the voice of God or hear the voice of Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit because I just crammed in my mind said, we have his written word. We have his written word. And over and over, and that's all I see. Everybody say, I can hear the Lord. Yeah, yeah, me too. I have his written word. I thought they were referring to the Bible. And then finally, a spiritual believer said, John, I'm not talking about reading the Bible. I'm talking about he still speaks to us and talks to us today. You know, I said, wow. So I said, how's that? He said, it's praying. That's the Lord. And I prayed. Nothing ever happened. I said, man, after 6-7 months, ain't nothing happened. Can't hear no. He says, well, first of all, he watches your lifestyle. You just can't just accrue a relationship with a snap of the finger. You know, it's like a thing like you're trying to find a wife. You don't say, well, you married me the first time you married a woman. You date her and court her, and then you get to meet her family, see if her family, she was raised up in the same kind of theology as you were, you know, because you don't want to marry some Seventh-day Adventist and you're a Baptist or you're a Catholic or whatever, especially Catholic. You better be a Catholic. They'll turn you down every minute kind of a thing, you see. So promises the Holy Spirit is our counselor. He promised the ministry of the Holy Spirit to flow through believers, and they happen. I know a lot of you probably said, you know, I felt led to do so and so. Do you know I felt led to speak to that man? I felt led to go to the hospital. And sometimes you get urged and stuff like that. It's just not your kindly theological mind. Sometimes it's the Holy Spirit saying, get your butt over there because I want to minister to that person. Because when I was a hospital chaplain, I was up in my office and then all of a sudden said, John, not audible. It was inaudible. Go in the emergency room. And I go, and then it says, this individual about to die. And I go, wow. So I went in and said, hey, chaplain, how you doing? Fine. I said, what's happening? He said, this young lady, she's 13 years old. She's about to die. She's bleeding out. She gave birth to the baby. The baby lived, but she there's nothing we can do for her. And I said, oh, my God. And the parents and were standing right outside the thing. And so I said, sweetheart. And she said, who are you? And I said, my name is Chaplain John. Where's the chaplain? And I told her, you know, she's like a minister. I said, in a jail and in a hospital, we are called chaplains. In a prison, I mean, in a church, we are called reverend. She said, oh, I said, have you accepted Christ? She said, no, you mean about, I don't know what you mean. And I said, and then I explained to her, and she said, I want, and the Holy Spirit told me what to say. And she accepted Christ as her personal Lord and Savior. And when she said that, she died. And then there was one other example where I was sitting in my office, and then the Holy Spirit said, John, go into room so and so. And so I went up to the room, and it was a 79-year-old lady. She looked up, she said, hi. She said, who are you? I said, I'm Chaplain John. She said, oh, pleased to meet you, sir. What can I do for you? So I just came to pray for you. You know, the Lord sent me here and said he loves you. He wants you to spend eternity with you. And then I said, now, how can I ask this woman she's saved? So I said, I know it. And then all of a sudden, I had this thought part of my mind. I said, sweetheart, she said, yes, Chaplain John. I said, if the Lord took you out now, where would you go, upstairs or downstairs? She said, I don't have the slightest idea what you said. I said, well, let's just say, for example, your time is on earth is over right now. Where would you go? Would you go to heaven or you go downstairs where the old devil is? And then she said the same thing. She said, well, I hope I go to heaven. I've been in church all my life. I never cheated on my husband, you know, and I raised my children the best way I can. I said, you just told me all the nicey things you did. When did you accept Jesus? She said, huh? What do you mean? And then I told about the born again spirit. I said, sweetheart, you got to accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You got to confess that he's the Son of God. And then you tell him you're sorry for all your sins. First, say you're sorry for your sins. Second, tell him you realize that he's the Son of God and ask him to come into your life and so that you can be born again. And that's when you become. She said, I didn't know that. She said, well, can we do it now? I said, yeah. So she says, Lord, I'm sorry for all my sins. Like Mr. John said, I did a lot of things. I ain't never said I was holy, but, you know, I cuss and fuss and everything else too. And then, Lord, I want you to know that I am sorry. And I always believed that you were the Son of God. Now he said, what I got to do now? I said, step into his heart. She said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. And that woman screamed when she said that. She started shaking everything. And she said, oh, my God. Oh, my God. She said, it's real. It's real. And then she says, come here, son. Come here. Come here. Give Grandma a hug. I sure appreciate you obedient to the Lord. I'm born again. I'm saved. I can say that. She hugged me. And then the woman died in my arms, you know. And that happened several times. Some more relationship that the Holy Spirit had with Jesus. Holy Spirit promised the Holy Spirit as the counselor. The Holy Spirit promised the ministry, Jesus promised the ministry of the Holy Spirit to flow through believers. He is revealed to believers by the Spirit. Spirit offered himself on the cross, offered Jesus. This is talking about Jesus, how he led Jesus to the cross. Because remember, three times he said, I don't want to do it. And then he finally said, okay, Father, not my will, your will. But the Holy Spirit led Jesus to the cross and acceptance. The Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. It was the Holy Spirit that received the Spirit from the Father. It was the Holy Spirit that poured out the Spirit upon believers. And it was the Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us. And then with respect to the Holy Spirit in relation to the church, I'm talking about our Baptist church, our Catholic church, whatever. Now, listen at this. It says, the Holy Spirit dwells in the church as his temple. The Holy Spirit is poured out like rain upon the church. The Holy Spirit speaks to the church. Now, sometimes when I say the church, I'm not actually talking about the building. I'm talking about believers. We are the church. That place we go to, we call church on Sunday. That's just the building we go to. We are the church. The Holy Spirit creates fellowship in the church. He unites the church, and he, in other words, fellowship with one in each other. The Holy Spirit gives gift to the church. The gift. I'm going to have to speak on that one day because here we go again. We have this written word. I remember Jesus said, man, if you say that one more time, he didn't say no words. And he says, don't say that no more, son. I do have gifts, the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, the gift of healing, the gift of tongues, the gift of interpretation of tongues, and so on. And he said, do you know why these folks always get scriptures? You can have different denominations, but everybody come up with something different. I said, yeah, Lord. I guess I was the Holy Spirit talking to me, not in word, but in thoughts. And he says, people interpret the scripture because of their belief, what their parents taught them. They grew up and they still hang on to that belief. Some people believe scriptures according to their prejudice. Oh, I don't believe that. That don't even sound right. What I believe is this. And then there's some who says, well, I'm a Methodist and I'll always be a Methodist. And I always teach the Baptist. I'm a Baptist and I'm not going to talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and stuff like that and healing, man. Oh, that's gone. You know, tongues, that's gone. You know, that kind of a thing. And Lord said, tell him this. I said, sir, you said tongues is gone? I said, yeah. I said, no, it's gone. I said, look at verse 9. He looked, revelation, knowledge, and gifts of tongues has ceased. I says, tell me, what's the difference between has and will? He looked at me and go, I said, has is past tense. Will is present tense. And Lord said, tell him that. I said, you see, he said, oh, my God. I said, now, look, if tongues have ceased, what about knowledge? It says tongues have ceased, knowledge has ceased, and prophecy has ceased. To have knowledge cease, how much knowledge man gained since the death of Jesus, huh? You know, look at all the weaponry. Look at all the schools, all the education. Look at all the medications and stuff, all the clothing, all the doctors and the physicians and the surgeons. Did revelation cease? Huh? It says tongues and revelation, you know. It says, no, Brother John. It says, have will. I say, that's what it is. And then God says, thank you. And I walk away. But sometimes when we have a problem trying to deal with the scripture, understand it, we need to ask the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit wrote the scripture, you know, inspired the scripture. And so we need to ask when we come to some kind of confusion. We don't know. Don't say, well, this is what I always been taught when I was in seminary. This is what I always taught by mama and my daddy. And this is what I've been taught when I went to school, you know, and all this stuff. But if you're confused and don't know for sure, then ask the Holy Spirit, say, thank you. I was wondering when you're going to ask me. that kind of thing. And that's how I received the Holy Spirit, you know, with the tongues. Because when I was a Methodist, from the time I was knee-high to a turtle dove to the time I was 21 before I left home, all I heard was heaven. And no, because I missed some of my buddies who go to some of the non-denominational church. And I told them, my pastor, no, don't bring that here. We're Methodists. We don't believe in tongues. So, yes, sir, no problem. And then when I came up here and joined my wife Baptist church, I said, what do you think? There's no such thing. We have this written word, Brother John. So don't, deacon, I don't need to hear that anymore. Okay. But I never had peace. So one night I said, Lord, I don't understand. You know, I don't understand. Why I can't accept it? She said, because my spirit is refusing to reject that. You're rejecting it because that's untrue. And he says, you go home down to Savannah where you came from. That's the Holy Spirit talking to me. But it's not audible. It's just thoughts coming to mind. So I told her, I'm going. So she said, okay, I went home. And my mom said, what you doing down here? I said, oh, I just come see your mama. She said, oh, sure. I said, yeah, mama. Then I went over to my sister's house. I said, sis, I don't know what to believe. She said, what's the matter? She said, what? I said, Lord told me that I was questioning about tongues and everything. She said, I have it. I said, when did you get it? She said, when I was 14 years old. But I didn't tell y'all because we all messes. I didn't want to kick out the house. But she said, but I had it ever since I was 13. So she said, come on, let me take you to my pastor. So we went to the pastor, and the pastor said, I explained. I said, my Methodist minister, who I was under 20 years, he said, he don't believe it. My pastor in the Baptist church for 15 years, he didn't believe it. He said, because he's Baptist. So the pastor said, go down there, and that's the Lord Jesus. I said, you mean I go down there and ask him? Yeah. So I went there, and I said, Lord Jesus, I don't know what to believe. This church believed this, this and I don't believe that, and this and nobody. I don't know what to believe. But for some reason, I just can't accept it. I don't know why. And then some spirit said, that was me, my son. And I said, what? Who said that? You know, then I dismissed it, you know. And then the pastor said, John, you remember when you got born again? I said, yes, sir. He said, when you accepted Christ, your personal Lord and Savior? Yes. And did you walk the walk? Now, I'm not talking about you accepted Christ, your Lord and Savior, and then you sneak around there screwing this girl, screwing this gal, and cussing and drinking. I said, no, sir. No. One thing I knew, I can't hide from God. He's a smart man. He said, well, I tell you what. Since you've been born again, you became eligible to receive the gifts in the Holy Spirit outlined in 1 Corinthians 12 chapter. He said, why don't you read it? I sat there and looked at my tongue, interpretation tongue, healing, and all those other kinds. And he says, which one you want? I said, I'm going to trick all both of them because I know what my pastors taught me in the Methodist church and in my Baptist church, and I'm a deacon there for 20 years. I said, I'm going to challenge him. I said, I think I'm going to ask for tongues. The pastor said, you were going to ask for what? I said, tongue. He said, well, go ahead. You were eligible when you was born again, spiritual believer. You know, I said, okay, I said, Lord Jesus, I would like to have the gift of tongue. If you don't mind, or the preacher walked up and said, John, you already have it. Thank you for it. I said, okay. I said, Lord Jesus, thank you for the gift of tongues. I just praise you and worship you. And Lord, I shakari aneke liya para soko di aneke jishi kiti anakpa. And just pour it out. And for 3 days, I couldn't even speak English. I had to call the sick to John because I couldn't speak English no more. Because every time I'm on my mouth, my wife said, how you feeling today, honey? I go, shakari aneke para soko di aneke. She said, there you go, then tongues again. And she said, this thing is real. She said, I want it too. I said, come on. So we got it that next weekend. We went back down to Savannah, and she told the pastor, he said, we're going up and ask the Lord for it. You born again? She said, yes, you're going. And my wife, she started crying all the way back, driving 4.5 hours. She's speaking in tongues, coming all the way back to Atlanta. But it's real. The Holy Spirit in relation to individual believers, listen at this. The Holy Spirit lives in every believer. He convicts us of sin because every time we do something, we got no business, and we get convicted. The Holy Spirit regenerates us, give us that born-again spirit birth feeling. He imparts God's love to us. He makes us realize God is our Father. He enables us to say, Jesus, Lord. In other words, if you ain't got the Holy Spirit in you and you don't care about no Jesus and all that, ain't no way in the world you're going to say Jesus. You probably say, I don't believe in that Jesus. Jesus Christ. Use it as a curse word. But a believer, he realized that God is Father and that Jesus is Lord. The Holy Spirit reveals Christ to us, and that's what he did when I was at work. He told me, don't you know if you die tonight, you're not in my kingdom? The Holy Spirit was sharing with me. He reveals God's truth to us about one I know right now. He doesn't speak to us today. We have his written word. We don't speak in tongues. We have his written word, and that's the lie of the devil. Okay, he enables us to distinguish truth from error. Because sometimes I don't know what to believe. And every time I get to that point now, I know, instead of me asking going to somebody and say, what that mean to you? I ask the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit tell me what it means. It took me a long time, folks. I just started hearing the Holy Spirit I guess about a year now. I still haven't heard Jesus with my voice yet. I'm hearing the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit speak to me through thoughts, you know. He says, he spoke to me one night and said, John, Holy Spirit said, you speak to the Lord Jesus continually and he will put your thoughts into your mind. I go, what? And then he showed me scripture, Romans 8, you know, and I was looking at it and said, when you communicate and fellowship with the Lord, you start thinking the thoughts of the Lord because the Holy Spirit wants us to speak his thoughts. I said, wow. So that's what I do now because I recognize when the Holy Spirit is nudging me to do something or leading me to do something. But I said, Jesus, I still can't hear you. I'm still trying now. I'm reading the Bible now, 6, 7, 8 hours a day and blah, 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 blah. And then supposed to transmit, I said, John, just be cool. You have to establish a real fellowship with him. Like you looking for a wife. You don't marry somebody time. And that woman ain't going to marry you time. You say, hey, I'm ready to get married. You want to get married? Same thing. We have to build, you know, a rapport, a relationship with the Lord. Just because you accepted Christ, the Lord said, that doesn't mean you have a relationship. Room just run right off. We have to establish a relationship. But he wants you to know him in and out. You know him so much and love him so much. As if a woman naked comes to me and tell me, hey, that Brother Emmett, take me. One girl called Brother, lady, not girl, called Brother Emmett. He was ministering, you know, on his ministry. And she said, I just need somebody to talk to. And he says, come on in, ma'am. So the woman walk in there, and she had on an overcoat, you know. And then she said, oh, I got to go to the bathroom. Could you excuse me? She's but the bathroom down the hall, so on, so on, so on. And man, when Emma told me this, I almost laughed my butt off. She went in the bathroom and came back out butt naked. Told me, hi, don't you want some of this? And Brother Emma said, oh, my God. I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. So, honey, come on. You don't have, you know, I know your wife is out of town, so come on and get some of this, boy. Don't you want? And he says, get out of here. I ain't going nowhere, honey. I'm going to give you some. You know, and Emma took me. He said, I said, what do you do? He said, I went in the clothes, got my gun and pointed. I said, you don't get the hell out of here. I'll shoot you, girl. The girl ran. And he had that many times. Every time he'd go to the drugstore, any time he'd go to the grocery store, the one be standing right behind him. Hi, you kind of light skin. I like your complexion. I want to have a baby from you. And Emma said, excuse me, ma'am. I don't know you. You don't know me, and you better get out of my face. She said, well, I thought I'd at least try because you're attracted to me. And that's just, you know, because he's in the deliverance ministry, and so those demons want to mess his life up. He revealed God's truth to us. He enables us to distinguish truth. So that's a reveals God's truth. That's that mean we really, 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 when we don't understand something, say, hey, we have this written. When somebody threw a belief at you, a doctrine at you, whatever we have written, before you say that again, check it out. Go ask the Holy Spirit. Look it up yourself. Don't accept because that was daddy told you, or because that was your best buddy who got 500 doctorate degrees told you that, because his interpretation can be based on the way he was taught when he was in seminary, or it can be based on his prejudice. Maybe I like this, but I don't like this. I believe this, and I don't believe that kind of a crap, see? So we have to have a fellowship the Lord to hear him. And the Lord said to me, John, we have to establish a relationship. You know me, but you don't know me. You don't have the relationship that I desire with you. So that's what I'm doing. Let's see what else. The Holy Spirit relation to individual believers again. He baptized us in the body of Christ. He is the one whom we are baptized by Christ. He fills us. He gives us power and boldness to witness. He gives us special gifts. Now, that's the one where most Satan got everybody trick. We don't have that. You know, such thing as healing the day, no tongue, no interpretation of tongue, and so on, so on, so on, so on. And the devil just, you know, ha, 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 because the gifts is the one that beat demons. And you can't get your guns to get out of my house. If you see this young lady, God, want some of that or something like that, the Holy Spirit will inspire you. Say, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And then before you know it, that desire go away. I had a buddy who couldn't stop masturbating. He said, I said, man, you ask Christ to come back into your life. So he did. And I said, now when that thought comes into your mind, just say, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. And that thought would stop. Now, sometimes it may hang in there because that demon want to challenge you. Oh, hell, you don't mean it. I rebuke you, you know. And sometimes the Holy Spirit like to get me to go way back in my teenage days and everything. So remember that girl? And I say, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I rebuke you, kind of a thing. So, don't say we have a written word no more, folks. The Lord want me to say that. Look it up for yourself. Don't say it because somebody told you that in school, or mama told you that, or your best friend who seemed to be so holy, or your best friend who's a pastor, preacher, evangelist, whatever. Look it up yourself. Don't just sup everything because they don't mean to jip you. That's just the way they were taught, and that's what they believe with all their heart. That's what, like, I mean, all 20-some years I was a Methodist, 20-some years I was a Baptist, and all that time I rebuked that and said, I ain't mess with that sucker. He's stupid, tumble tongues, and, you know. And then finally, the Holy Spirit ministered to me and said, stop saying that, and started ministering. And all of a sudden, I found my heart really getting to believe it more and more and more until I went down south to my sister. And she said, come on to my church, boy. And the preacher said, go on down there. I know what you're about to say about those preachers and everything. Go down there and ask the Lord. So I asked the Lord. And the next thing I know, I received the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Let me see. It gives us special gifts. That's healing. Because sometimes when I go to the hospital, when I was working, not the Lord that time, because I couldn't hear the Lord, was the Holy Spirit, say, go to room so-and-so-and-so, and this person about to die. And then when I leave that person, Lord, they said, thank you, Brother John. And she hugged me and died in my arms several times. And many times, the Lord would tell me who's about to die in that hospital, and I would go, and I didn't know which room. I'd be walking down in a big circle. When I get into the emergency room, I said, which one? And all of a sudden, then when I get to the right one and get ready to pass the right one, so I'm going, and then I knew that I passed the room where he wanted me to go. And then I would share that with that lady or that man or that teenager and end up accepting Christ. So he would tell me who going to leave this earth. Let's see. Baptized. He baptized in the body of Christ. When we get baptized, showing our belief in Christ. He's the one to whom we are baptized by Christ. He fills us. He gives us power. He gives us special gifts. Yeah, that's the gift of tongue, interpretation of tongue, and so forth, and healing, and so forth. He gives us visions and prophecy. He developed his fruit in us. When I say fruit, I mean just being what he wants us to be. He enabled us to live a holy life. You know, saying, well, I tried, Brother John, but I just can't stop doing it. And I can't stop doing it. It sounds like you need some deliverance. You call Brother Emmett. And he called Brother Emmett, and the whole Lord said, he got a spirit of homosexuality. He has a demonic spirit, a homosexual demonic spirit in him. And near go it. And then I go and witness sometime, and all of a sudden he said, come out. And that demon started manifesting everything else. And the refrigerator door be shut and the closing light be going in and out and everything like that. And I said, oh, my God, this stuff is really real. Because that was another one of my non-believers. I don't believe no demons, man. If they are demons, they're all in jail. But Lord said, I want you to see that too. And so he had Brother Emmett to call me. He said, Brother Jim, John, I'm going to do the deliverance. Want to go with me? I go, okay. And when I go there with him, the young man sitting in the room, in his bedroom, and the room felt like refrigerator, and the guy told me, I said, what a man, crazy man. He's out of my, said, that's a demon talking to him. And then he said, demon manifest, shut up, I'm not talking to you, Aaron Boy. That's what they call nickname him, Aaron Boy. Shut up, Aaron Boy, I don't need you. And then the boy would elevate up in the ceiling, walk up the wall, across the ceiling, upside down, down the other side. And I said, my Lord. And here I was, another lie that was taught me all these thinking years. I said, I never believed in tongues, and I never believed hardly in demons. And I look where I am. And God said, mm-hmm. And then, and every time God said, he said, call me, come go with me, John. We'd go there, and the woman standing there looking at us, telling me, oh, here come the errand boy. Oh, I see you got a buddy of yours. What's his name? And he said, oh, I know his name. His name is John Durden. I said, who the heck told that demon my name? He said, the demons know us, John. And demons to us. I said, well, happy dog. She said, hey, and then they started talking. He said, don't talk no more. Just rebuke that thing to come out. I said, you rebuke him, you know, because I said, come out. He said, John, he said, you don't have the power. Yeah, you don't have that relationship with the Holy Spirit yet, because they can see you. They know what sins you are. They know where you are with the Lord. They know where you are in your walk. And you have to be totally, totally sold out before a demon would do what you say. Otherwise, you just ask them for a good butt whipping, because they will whip you, but sometimes they'll strike you. And I said, and the last thing about it is I went to see a deliverance at his house. And he said, go over there, sit on the sofa. I was sitting next to the guy. I didn't know the guy was demon, was just supposed to be next. And our brother Emma was on the other side of the room, telling me, come out, you demon. I ain't coming out of hell with you. You don't tell me what to do. And he said, I said, come out in the name of Jesus. And I said, the Lord Jesus rebuke you. And then he told me, okay. And then when that happened, the guy who was sitting next to me, he talking about, all of a sudden, he ain't never seen Brother John. No, he said, Brother John. I looked at him and said, huh? I said, we got to get the hell out of here. I said, what are you talking about? He's going to have this man, body I'm in, going to cast me out. I ain't want to go nowhere. I've been in this guy's, been in this body for 13 years. I ain't going no goddamn way. You hear me? Come on, you got a car. I don't have no car. I came in his body. I'm getting out of here before he cast me out of this body. And I go, I say, Brother Emmett. And Emmett turned around and said, you demon, shut up in the name of Jesus. I got up and moved on the other side of the room. But that's a part of it. God wanted me to know that demons are still relevant today. He also helped believers help. He helped us to pray. He enabled us to worship. He helped us to grieve when we sin. He makes us yearn for Christ's return. And I'm always telling him, Lord, when you're coming back, I'm tired of this mess. Give us our mortal bodies. And then with respect to sinners, what does the Holy Spirit have in relation with sinners? And I looked it up and said, one, he convicts sinners of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. You find that in John chapter 16, verses 7 through 11. He also commissioned believers to proclaim the gospel to sinners. In other words, you've been called into the ministry. You wasn't just called by the wind. You wasn't called by a blue moon. That was the Holy Spirit doing what the Lord says. I want him. He's my man. He's my chaplain. I know his heart. And then, boom, he does that. And then, let me see, the last little thing. What I want to say. Where is it? Where did I put it? So anyway, the Holy Spirit loves us, and that's his job. He deals with us as personal believers. And he dealt with folks back there in the creation time, animals and everything else brought them into being. The Holy Spirit is the one who led Jesus out there so he can be tempted by the devil those 40 days and so forth. The Holy Spirit in relation to the church. When you say the church, I'm talking about the believers. He lead us into accepting Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. And boy, now let me tell you, there's one thing too. Like I'm in this ministry now, and I don't know why God put me into it. It's when a person loves the Lord and he has a believer, the Holy Spirit in his spirit. And so Brother M and I get calls all the time. And they're mad because of what we teach and what we say. And you know the threat 90% of them say to me and Brother Emmett, they don't say, I'm coming down here, beat your behind, I'm going to knock you silly, and I'm going to break your leg and all this stuff. We coming down here to ball jack you. And I go, ball jack? I ain't never heard that before. So help me, folks. 98.9% of the times when me and Brother Emmett get threats every other night and during the day and the morning from different ministers all over the USA, and they all saying, we don't like what you're saying. We don't like what you're doing. I'm coming down. Instead of saying, I'm coming down to beat your ass. They're coming down here to ball jack you, boy. And I said, Emmett, I keep hearing that. What does ball jack? He said, oh, John, that just means they're going to come there and pull your pants down and ram their penis up your butt. I said, you got to be kidding me. He said, no. I said, okay. And so now, about a couple hours later, I want to speak to John. Dude, you think he all this? You ain't nothing. I'm tired of you teaching your crap. Ain't no such thing as turning. I'm coming down there. Me and my boy coming down, and we going to ball jack you, nigga. And I go, oh, my God. I said, you know what ball? I said, yeah, when you said ball jack, you talking about coming down here and screw me in my behind? That's right. I'm going to turn you into a punk, to a faggot, boy. I said, son, let me tell you something. I might be a chaplain, but I'm not one of them chaplains. Go, yes, sir, I love you. God is good and all that. You come down here, I'll beat the living hell out of you, old as I am. Oh, hell, you old goat, ain't nothing you can do. You'd be surprised what I can do, you know? And so help me, I'm not lying. 40-some-odd ministers have come down here and threatened Brother Emmett and myself, threatened our life. But guess what? They didn't know that we had some gangsters who live in our neighborhood just love Brother Emmett and I. They come to our Bible study sometimes, but they're still gangsters. They haven't changed, but they are rough gangsters. And every time they come down here, they get out the car with their baseball bats and everything and come knocking on his door. And then those gangsters, 12 or 14 of them, come from around the back of the house and say, I beg your pardon, what can we do with this? Oh, crap. Mr. John said if we come, we're going to be sorry. Mr. John said that. Mr. John. And then the pastor said, oh, my God, no. And they beat the heck out of them and sent them back home crying, you know. And it's just, and we get it every day. This morning. Some on their way now. They're coming to threaten us, telling us they don't like what we teach and all this other stuff, and they're going to beat the hell out of us. And my right hand to God Almighty, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I don't use the Lord's name as alien. In the name of Jesus Christ, we get threat every day. But every other day, we have some try to sneak in town. One day they're going to get us. A couple of them will and all of them are Caucasian, except maybe three visitors. They were African Americans, but the majority of them are Caucasian. And they talk about, yeah, and we're going to make you love Trump. That's our boy. And you better love him. We're going to have him another 4 years because he our man. I said, you're supposed to be a Christian. How can you love a man who lies ever since he's been in office and everything else? He races and everything else. That's my business. I said, well, you know. But what they didn't know, and the Lord says, you know, when they sin, the Holy Spirit is the temple of our body, right? I said, yes, sir. I keep saying the Lord, Holy Spirit. Say, the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It says, once you screw some woman or some man and you don't, the Holy Spirit leave. And some people just can't say, I can't give up that woman. I know I'm married. I can't quit smoking that dope. I can't stop. And what they don't realize is that that's a spirit that entered them now. And because the Holy Spirit left, the Bible says our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Lord said, do you think that you can lay down there and have sex with a woman with the Holy Spirit residing in your body, huh? You gonna lay on top of a woman in school and the Holy Spirit's supposed to be in your body? Are you crazy? I say, you say no more. And you know, and then when they call someone, I love what I'm doing. We coming down there, we gonna screw you and your ass. And I say, you know something, sir? You don't even have the Holy Spirit. What you mean? I say, the Holy Spirit is not with you no more. The Holy Spirit ain't gonna dwell in your physical body, which is supposed to be his temple. And you right now having sexual relationship with another man, with a woman, and a lot of them too. They finger screwing young children. Tell me, I love doing that. Sometimes the Lord says, John, that's what? He said, you know that minister told you right now? I see he told me he's coming down to bulljack you and everything else because he don't like what you teach and everything. And he's rebuking us because he don't like our teaching. I see he said, the Lord just told me. He talked to you from a hotel. He's in a room with Sweet Booty in room number 102 at such and such hotel. So I said, what you going to do to me, man? I'm coming down here. You know, I said, where are you? None of your business. I said, you in room 102, the Hyatt Hotel on such and such a street, and you paid $525 for that man you gave him. And who told you that? You some kind of witch or something? I said, no, the Lord. Click, hanging on the phone. So that's what happens. Every time you call us and threaten us, and so help me, I swear, folks, the Lord said, don't swear, but swear. They call all the time, every night. I had about 4 or 5 calls threatening my life, talking about we have his written word, nigga, and so on, so on, so on. Come down there, ball jack you, and I'm going to bring you back to Texas with me and bind you in our downstairs in my room, and you're going to be my special bitch. You hear what I say, boy? And I'm going to have my friends to come and screw you to and just make you just love it. Said, Lord have mercy. And then my mama got something to say. Hey, nigga, I'm coming down here, and I'm going to hold your left leg down, folks. So help, I swear again. I'm supposed to swear, but, you know, I got to make you believe it. This happened every other day. We had 4 or 5 calls this morning. Now, let me speak to that John. You think I live with him, you know? You don't know, I got my own pad and everything with my family. Let me speak to him. He said, hold 1 second. Then he hooked me on the line. Hey, nigga. Yeah, we don't like what you're doing. We don't like what you're saying. Ain't that wrong being a homosexual? Ain't that wrong getting a little piece of ass in now and then? And I said, and then they call me. They call and say, we have a Triple Crown Bishop ceremony, and we want you to see us get promoted to Triple Crown Bishop. I said, that ain't nothing but pride. And then they say, yeah, when we get through with the ceremony, we coming down there to ball jack you. And I say, no, you don't want to come down. Some did come, and the Lord say, and some try to sneak in here without telling us. And then the Holy Spirit say, Bishop so-and-so, and Bishop so-and-so, and just a half hour from the house, get ready. And he's thanking me. He called me, John, they half hour. I said, we just got to talk with that joke, and they told they're 2 hours away from home. It takes 4 hours to drive. And they're just 2 hours. I said, they're just 1 hour? I said, yeah, they're trying to trick you. They want to catch you by surprise, bust it through them. But the Lord always tell us, or the Holy Spirit would tell him, and then Emmett would call me. Because Emmett been hearing the Lord for the last 14, 15 years, you know, with his high school diploma, and he got into the Word and God honors because he was really real. He had so many holes in women to try to change him and everything. Now he had to get the gun on and say, get the hell out of here. You know, I don't do that no more. My body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. And every time something go wrong, the Lord would tell him. When he needs some money, the Lord say, I put it in your account. The Lord put money in his account. And a day, he told me, John, he was having trouble with his terminal. He said, oh, Lord, I got this teaching to do, and then you got the teaching, and the computer all messed up. I don't know what to do. And then I said, well, you know what he told you, man. I wish I could hear him like you. Why don't you ask him? He said, Lord, tell me what's wrong. Lord, give instruction. Next thing you know, boom, he was up and running. The Lord was telling him. Every time he had trouble, I said, Lord, what should I do? And the Lord would tell him what to do. And this is the truth. So help me God. Now, you don't supposed to use the Holy Spirit name in vain, because the Bible said, Jesus, you can talk about me all you want and curse me and everything else. I'll forgive you. You can bless my Father. He forgives you. But any sin against the Holy Spirit is never forgiven. So dig this. One day, it was raining and storming outside. And Emma was talking to a person. I heard he just came out of the house where he delivered somebody. And some man next door was walking back. I heard all that screaming in the house next door. What was all that screaming, Emma? I said, oh, I delivered a young man. He was delivered with a demon. He go, what? What'd you say? He says, I said, I did a deliverance. A man was possessed with a demon. You know? Oh, man, nobody don't believe in that. S-H-I-T. Are you stupid? What kind of guy are you, kind of a thing? And he said, I'm telling the truth. I said, I don't believe that. And he says, and you know what? You're lying. May God kill me. I don't think the word kill. May God, but it had to do with kill. May God kill me now. God kill me if I'm lying. I don't believe in that stuff. There ain't no such thing. And may God kill me if they are really demons. And he said, may God strike me dead if they are really demons. And guess what? Lightning bolt came to me and the man died. And there were people out there next door neighbors. Of course, they heard the ruckus going on. They said, what's all this going on? And the man was arguing with Brother Emmett. And the man told me, you ain't no such thing. You're a hypocrite. You're stupid. And if there's a demon, may God strike me dead right now, nigga. And lightning struck him dead. Boom. And then when the cops came, they was going to take him off to say, you killed this man, so-and-so. No, sir. Lightning struck him. Well, you must have did something. And God, and guess what? The Lord got him out of there. The Lord said, the Holy Spirit said, tell him this and tell him that and tell him this. And the Holy Spirit was speaking to him. So he said, sir, Mr. Officer, let me tell you something what I just told God. About who? Just listen, sir. He told the man all his sins and everything else. The man said, oh, hell. Guess what? The policeman got back in the car and drove off and left him standing there. Listen. And then one other chance. He got wrongly accused of speeding, you know, kind of a thing. And this old white racist police officer, you getting a ticket, boy. He said, I wasn't doing that. You know, shut up, nigga. You don't question me, you know. And gave him a ticket. And you better be there, because I'm going to be there to make sure your ass show up. So I started to go with him. He said, no, I'll go by myself. He went there. And he called. The judge kept calling, went up. And then when it was his time, went up there. He said, well, I see you speeding in a 15-hour zone doing 40 hours. He said, no, sir. It's 40 miles an hour. He said, no, sir. He said, why should I believe you, huh? We know how y'all are. I'm talking about how y'all are. You know what we're talking about. He said, sir, I got something to say to you. And the Lord says, say this to him. The Lord says, your wife's name is so-and-so-and-so, and you have three boys. One his name is so-and-so, another one boy is sitting in there, another one is named so-and-so, so-and-so. You was raised in such and such a city, your mother's name is so-and-so, your daddy's name is so-and-so, your granddad. And the man said, shut up. Who told you that? Where did you get that from? He said, the Lord told me, sir. And that was his way of saying, I was innocent. The guy just falsely accused me of speeding. He said, you excuse me, just go. I won't hear no more. And the judge excused him. Because the Holy Spirit was telling him everything about the man. So it's really real. I think my time about run out, but the Holy Spirit, I had something I really want to close out with the Holy Spirit gave me, but I don't know where it is. But anyway, the Lord wants us to know that he want to have a special relationship with you. He want to, he respects, you know, you're going to school, getting educated too, but he wants you to, when you're undecided, I'm confused about a particular scripture. Don't take it for granted. When you feel in your spirit there's something wrong with the person that's told you, just ask the Holy Spirit to correct you. I thank you for your time and for listening. May God bless you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, be blessed.
Okay, I want to thank Pastor Durden, area code 256. Good evening. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Who's this, Asha?
Yeah.
Hey, Asha, how you doing?
I'm good.
You need some deliverance? Anything? What do you need?
Not at the moment.
Okay. You okay?
Yes.
All right. We'll see you Friday here.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Sister Asha is listening. Okay. Dr. Billman emailing. Chaplain Durden, Dr. Billman says, good evening.
Good evening, sir.
Wonderful sermon. Have a blessed day.
Thank you, sir. Give the glory to the Lord. Thank you.
Well, that's it for tonight. We want to thank everybody for listening to us here at Live Deliverance Internet Radio. We'll be here on every Tuesday with Chaplain John Durden. You can listen to me on YouTube, YouTube Live. We are doing a teaching series on demonology. We're at part 6, and we just put that up about an hour ago. You can listen to us 24 hours radio station at livedeliverance.com at www.livedeliverance.com. You go to that attachment, you can see YouTube and Blog Talk Radio. I want everyone to have a wonderful evening. Thank you for participating, Chaplain Durden, for your time. We appreciate that.
Yes,
and
sir.
God bless every last one of you.
So many